B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Bill, I'm just curious, based on what you just said about the reps and how eventually you guys would have to skew them one way or the other, could you ever envision a scenario in which it might benefit the team to use two quarterbacks in sort of a platoon style, or would that maybe bring up too many complications for your offense? You know, if you have two guys that maybe have different skill sets, could that potentially benefit the team?
Yeah, it might. I would always say I'll do what I think is best for the team. What gives us the best chance to win. So, whatever that is, I would certainly consider that. If it's run unbalanced line or double unbalanced line or, 23 personnel or, whatever it is. If it helps us win, then... I would consider anything.
And welcome into the program. It's Felger and Maserati coming to you on Wednesday, August 19th. Felger here in the remote A-hole chair location. Big Jim Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Matt McCarthy filling in our Update Studios in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Fellas, how you doing?
Hello, Mike.
Oh, peachy,
Thank you so much. Thank you. Good to hear, Matt. We've got Felger and Maz on both ends here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast brought to you by DraftKings. You heard there, Bill Belichick, Murray, breathing life into yet another cockamamie thing that our callers bring up that we dump on a daily basis that I'm wondering is actually going to come to fruition. And isn't that, Rich, that happens all the time. We get the calls about the bad ice up in Toronto to the point where we won't even take the calls. And then they get up there and it turns out they're playing on bad ice.
Right.
Or we get these calls about Newton and Stidham. Can they play them both? Can they have one guy sub in for the other and have a two-headed monster? And we laugh those callers off the air.
Yeah, what about a QB rotation? They do it with the Saints. They got Breeze and they got Taysom Hill.
Oh, gosh, it's so cockamamie you can't even entertain it. And then Bill Belichick entertains it. That was Bill Belichick today on that question. And you can dismiss that because Bill's right. Like, you can run unbalanced. They'll do whatever it takes to win a game, he says. Except, I don't know, maybe play your best corner in the Super Bowl. But that, we'll put that to the side. He'll do whatever it takes, play whatever formation it takes to win a game. 23 personnel, Murray, two running backs, three tight ends. He'll do anything, whatever it takes. So he breathes life into it. Do you think there is actually life into that scenario?
I hope not. And if he's considering it, he's a fool. Because what has often been looked at is the standard of stupidity in the NFL, that slogan, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. If he's considering that, then it's doomed to fail. It is always doomed to fail. It doesn't work. But what? Is this now going to be a good thing? We're going to take these calls. This is a good thing now because Bill Belichick is thinking of doing it. See, everyone else is stupid when they have two quarterbacks and they have none. But now that Bill has three quarterbacks, let's just have a new slogan because it's Hoyer, it's Stidham, it's Cam Newton. Three QBs, a big party. Yay, it's all going to work. This is foolish. It doesn't work. And if you bring in Cam Newton, He is going to be the starter. The guy's not going to acquiesce to Jarrett Stidham, or certainly not Brian Hoyer. He's going to be a problem in the locker room, or they're just going to have to cut him, and then there's going to be the whole blowback that comes with that. And I still think that is going to be on the table because people will look at the Patriots as racist and why'd you do this? And it's going to be a whole thing. I really believe that. I still stand with you. Don't bring in Cam Newton. If you didn't, with them not believing in Jarrett Stidham right now, maybe he is the long-term solution. But for 2020, he's not. Otherwise, they would not have signed Cam Newton. I have to believe, I still believe that Cam Newton is going to be the starter week one against Miami. He can't truly be looking at doing some kind of rotation with these quarterbacks. It's doomed to fail. It's always doomed to fail.
It's a cockamamie idea, and a lot of you like it.
It's the 2011 Jets. I mean, McCarthy pointed this out in the email chain, too. This is what the Jets did with Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow. We're going to do that. So the team that Bill hates more than any other team, in all sports, he wants to become them with Jarrett Stidham and Cam Newton. Oh, yeah, sure. No, that's great. That's a real pisser. Can't wait for that to kick off week one against Miami. Ooh, here's Stidham for a couple of series. Here's Cam Newton. Hey, let's throw Brian Hoyer in, too. What the hell?
It's cockamamie. McCarthy, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, this is the most insane idea of all time. This is the worst idea of all time. I honestly cannot believe that we are sitting here talking about a potential Patriots quarterback platoon in 2020. I refuse to apologize for having standards. I like having one quarterback. I liked having Tom Brady. That was pretty cool. We're going to go from Tom Brady to the New York Jets plan. Going away from Tom Brady is bad enough. Going from Tom Brady to Cam Newton is already difficult for me as a millennial with standards to accept, Felger. But to go from this, from Tom Brady, to the New York Jets plan, the Sanchez-Tebow approach that the New York Jets had almost 10 years ago, you've got to be kidding me with this. This is not a viable alternative at all. I hate this. Hate, hate, hate.
Do you think it's legitimately on the table?
I pray to God it's not.
No, that's not what I'm asking you. Do you think it's legitimately on the table?
Yes. Yes, I do, I feel like he would have shot it down.
I do. I don't think he would have shot it down. So I'll tell you why I think it's on the table. Not because he answered it the way that he did, because I think that's a standard Bill answer. I'll do whatever it takes to win. I'll play whatever formation, play whatever players it takes to win. So that's not the tip-off. The tip-off is that's answer in conjunction with Mike Reese writing this thing today. So Mike Reese wrote this today, posted at 6 a.m., so before Bill's even asked, and before this even becomes a thing, Reese, I guess out of nowhere, says, in an unconventional season, what if Coach Bill Belichick goes the unconventional route with the New England Patriots starting quarterback job? Maybe he doesn't choose QB1 by the September 13th season opener against the Dolphins. Perhaps it's QB1A and QB1B, Murray. What was a lingering thought after watching the first 2 days of full pads practice this week when the repetitions were split evenly among Newton, Stidham, and Hoyer, and it's clear Newton is running third in terms of comfort level with the system. Well, let me repeat that. It's clear, writes Mike Reese, the fifth craft son, that Newton is running third in terms of comfort level with the system.
Then cut him now. If he's not going to get it, then you got to cut him now because this is going to become problematic. If he's not going to pick it up here in the next week or so, then get ahead of it and cut him now. Because he's right to lose his mind. You're going to sign me, a former MVP. I made it through the Super Bowl. I'm going to lose my job to this kid just because he knows the system a little bit better. Give me some time.
How do you love it? You know, 2 days of practice and Mike Reese has a lingering thought like that.
Yeah, right.
That's quite the lingering thought.
Just a thought. Yeah, I'm just throwing a guy who's certainly, and I love him, but he's not like a hot taker. But yeah, here's a lingering thought. Here's something that didn't come from the horse's mouth.
But hold on a second here. If the Patriots have a problem with, if the Patriots think Cam Newton isn't picking up the offense quick enough, is that Cam Newton's fault or is that their fault for waiting until June 28th to sign him?
Okay, so let's blame the Patriots. Fine.
Yes, absolutely.
But does that give, so fine, we'll blame them. But now the matter at hand. Does that make it more or less likely that they would try this platoon system?
Makes it more likely.
Okay, it does. It does. That Newton's not picking it up, or they don't have the time to pick it up, or it's just too complex, like whether you blame him or them or whoever. The point is, as Mike Reese writes, it's clear Newton is running third in terms of comfort level with the system. And then he writes in parentheses, which is no surprise since he signed July 8th. Okay, so we're getting this storyline again, that the Patriots system is hard to pick up, and Newton, as you would expect, as any new player would be dealing with, is third in terms of comfort level with the system. So why would the Patriots do this? He goes through some reasons, some of which look, I think this is a real possibility. I'm willing to say it's actually going to happen, in fact. Like I think this is what we're going to get. And it may not be the platoon in terms of, let me explain why I think it's going to happen. But I think it's on the table. I really do.
You think Cam Newton's going to want to deal with that?
Nope,
I
don't.
How long before that becomes problematic? Now, granted, I see why you're rooting for this. And part of me is too, even though I hate it.
Oh, the chaos, Murray, the chaos.
Oh, the chaos is great. It'd be great fodder for the show. It'd be a complete disaster.
God.
Like that part, you know, selfishly I want. The fan in me, yes, that still exists, even though I'm Brady over Bill. Like, I'd still like to see this team succeed. That's why I want Cam Newton to be the guy. I want them to be competitive. I think it'll be an entertaining storyline. I'd like to see him rehabilitate his career. I don't want to see a rotation. It never works.
Pants off for talk radio. Just let's hit on that for a second. Not just complain about one quarterback, but two quarterbacks.
Maybe three.
And then the decision-making around it. Like, why'd you play him there? Why don't you play him there? Why'd you play him now and not then? Why'd you play him here and not there? Well, who got that two-minute drill? Why do you get that two-minute drill? You should play this guy. You should play that guy. Oh, my God. Pants off.
The second-guessing bonanza.
Oh, my God. It's moving as I speak. So, like, for the talk show, it's like, oh, my God. Please play both guys, for crying out loud. But I think there's a practical reason why he might do it. So, some of which I buy, some of which I don't. So Reese goes through the reasons. He says you challenge the opposition. When Belichick considers matching X's and O's in the opener against his former defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, it might be appealing to add to Flores' burden by making him prepare for two quarterbacks with different styles of play. I think that's, you know, I don't fully buy that one because it's like, yeah, you have to prepare for a crappy quarterback. That's not that hard. The Patriots never played another quarterback under Tom Brady, and he was impossible to prepare for because he was so freaking good. And that's just a dramatic example of if you have a good starting quarterback and they only have to prepare for that one starting quarterback, that's what you're looking for. Okay, so one good starting quarterback is harder to prepare for than two guys who don't know what they're doing who have different styles. So I reject that. Here's another one that I reject. Preserving Cam's health. So far, so good on Newton's return from foot and shoulder injuries. He passed his physical to sign his contract with the Patriots, passed the conditioning test to be on the field for the Patriots, and hasn't looked limited at all in practice, writes Reese. But even Newton seemed to acknowledge in his lone media availability with reporters, remember 2 weeks, I don't know if you were on, Murray, but it was 2 weeks ago when Newton first talked to the media.
Yeah, I was off that Friday.
He gave this answer about, we have time, and it's great that I can work with the doc. I feel great, but the game's not, for another month, and it's great that I have all this time to ramp up. And it's like he sort of left the door ajar for not being 100%, or there's still being medical concerns and pacing with him. And so that's what Reese is referring to. So they would split quarterback reps to preserve Newton's health. Do you buy that one?
I would need to, the only reason I would think that may be plausible is if that, Cam Newton, if you heard from Cam Newton in one of these next availabilities, in one of these Zoom conferences, that, hey, it's coming along slowly, the shoulder's bothering me. If he acknowledges that he's still dealing with one of these ailments, then, yeah, I would actually buy that.
Okay. It might be a consideration, but I don't want it to be. In other words, Cam Newton's a one-night stand. He's one and done. So the whole idea of having Cam Newton in here is that he goes crazy, he makes all these plays, and he's Cam Newton, and then he signs a new contract and goes elsewhere and rehabilitates his career, and you get a year out of him. So to me, to get that year out of Cam Newton, he's got to be playing, he's got to be running, he's got to be taking chances, he's got to be throwing his body around. And so it's the next team that has to worry about preserving Cam Newton for the long haul. We're using him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the whole – and he's using us. Like, that's the whole idea.
So it doesn't work on the Patriots' end, and it's like, well, why are you going to baby this guy if he's only going to be here for a year?
Okay, so – I don't want to – I'm sorry. I don't want to preserve them. Maybe they are. I can't – but I don't want to. It balls to the wall. That's the reason you got them. Another reason to do it, says Reese, is more information on Stidham. I'm going to reject that too because I think they know about Stidham. I think they saw something they didn't like about Stidham this offseason, which we'll get to. We'll get a report from Jimmy's phone coming up. I think they have some information on Stidham in terms of makeup or work ethic or attitude, something along these lines, some intangible piece that sort of rubbed them the wrong way this offseason. And, well, I think they're going to learn about Stidham through this competition and through this little bit of adversity that he's facing. I don't think they need to play Cam Newton or play Stidham a certain amount of snaps to get more information on Stidham. They're gathering their information on Stidham and his makeup right now. So I reject that too. There's only one rationale that I would accept that I think Bill Belichick would use, and there'd be some legitimacy to it, and I'd actually endorse. And I would actually endorse. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what that one reason is coming up right after these words with your calls. It's Felger and Maz. We're going to get off early today at 3:30 for the Bruins, unless this Lightning game goes into overtime. Are they still 2-2 in the third? I'm about to turn it on.
3-2 Columbus heading into the third.
Heading into the third. Okay.
11 minutes to go in the third.
Oh, okay.
And it's a 3-2 game.
3-2 Columbus.
So, as long as that game ends in regulation, we're off at 3:30. If that goes to OT, we go to OT. But the deal is limited time to get your calls in. So do it now at 617-779-0985. And I'll tell you the one reason to split these quarterbacks coming up right after this.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mads.
Hey, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Mads.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Good morning, Bill.
Hi, Ben.
Quick question about the quarterback competition. Do you feel like you can continue to split reps with the guys throughout training camp? Or is there going to be a point where you need to decide on what the plan is going to be, just because you have to start getting ready for week one?
Yeah, well, obviously there's some point where that's going to happen, but you know, right now we want to try to, like I said, give everybody an opportunity to, you know, work on it, get the basics, and we're really doing that at all the positions. I mean, everybody's rotating through, and you know, we're trying to give everybody an opportunity to run the basic plays, get the basic fundamentals down, and. Yeah, of course, at some point we'll have to, not equalize the reps. I mean, that's obvious, but yeah, we're not there now.
Okay, so the question is, when will they be? When will they be? And I wouldn't be surprised, Murray, if it's not until a couple weeks into the season. So you watch college football, right?
A bit, not as much as I did, but yeah.
I mean, in college, they run in different quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
And in college, you know, if you've got Trevor Lawrence, they're not, you know, I'm not saying every team does it, but a lot of college teams run in different quarterbacks. And I think you see that quite a bit in September in those early season games because they have no preseason in college. And they're trying to find out what they have. And not, they don't necessarily treat those first couple of games as exhibitions, but I don't know. When I watch college football, I see them running different guys all the time. And I think early in the season, I feel like it's even more than later in the season.
Yeah, and I would hate for this to be like part of a copycat thing. I mean, the NFL has always talked about it as a copycat league. And so, I mean, I thought Bill was better than that kind of thing. So what, now that the Saints do it with some level of success with Breeze and Taysom Hill, and I think you might actually see it with the Eagles this year too, with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, who they drafted.
That you're missing one more.
Who?
Chicago, Foles, and Trubisky.
Oh, God. Just go with Foles, you morons. Jesus. So, you know, I would hate for the Patriots and Bill, who's above this, and he's usually the most forward-thinking coach and is ahead of it and is outsmarting everyone else. He's going to fall into line like everyone else is now. He's going to be a copycat and do this because it's working in other places or kind of working? Oh,
okay.
Gross.
But you're missing what the point is. What I think the only legitimate point is, and that is not to do what the Saints are doing and not to have a two-headed monster and not to get teams to prepare for two quarterbacks versus one or not to preserve Newton. I don't care about any of those things. But there's no preseason this year. And if you're going to have a real competition, how do you do it? You can't do it at practice when they can't hit these guys. You can't do it in these drills where it's three-quarter speed. You can't do it. And so you use these early season games as an extension of the preseason, which is what they do anyway, frankly. They do. And that's why, you know, there's always
wonky September, yeah.
Right, they're always wonky, right. He's building in room to grow, and it's a little bit of an extension of the preseason. And, well, Christ, this is even, that's that on steroids because there is no preseason. And I would not be surprised one bit, if that's the reason, and Mike Reese writes it, his second bullet point reason to do it, extension of the preseason. ESPN analyst Teddy Bruschi has often said Belichick uses September as an extension of the preseason, in part because he's still trying to figure out what he has on the roster. With no preseason games this year, that approach potentially holds true, even more true now, he says. Why would quarterback be any different than any other position, writes Reese. Last season, Belichick had Stidham attempt more passes in the preseason than any rookie quarterback in his tenure as coach. He needed to see what he had before deciding whether Stidham was ready to assume the number two spot behind Brady. And now you don't have those games. So that's why I think you're actually going to get this. That's why I think you're actually going to get it. And I love it. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it sitting in this seat. I love all the nonsense that it's going to produce and all the second guessing and all the fodder that it's going to produce. I love that we'll be able to see who looks better. And I think there's a chance Stidham will look better and we'll all see it. There's a chance. So what can I tell you? I think it's a real possibility for that reason. That, let me put it this way. That's the only reason I would do it, Murray.
Yeah, and he did seem, when Bill Belichick's first availability in these Zoom conferences, he did seem, I guess, kind of confident in the way that this approach was going to be because, you know, a lot of people, I think, were freaking out that there's not going to be any kind of preseason. How can you find out who's going to be the quarterback? And he did reference the college way that they go about it. So maybe, you know, I'll give you that. So I just don't know how you build any kind of continuity, though, with the offense and you have, you know, quarterback get comfortable, one particular quarterback get comfortable with the receivers. I just think it's the whole thing. The two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, it's doomed to fail. And if Bill is, if you talk about him as maybe the best coach with quarterbacks in the league, and, well, shouldn't he be able to figure this out in this time? Well, if it's whether or not it's going to be Stidham and Stidham's going to be ready to go and get him ready and he beats Cam Newton or you rehabilitate Cam Newton as long as he's healthy, shouldn't Bill, as the way that you and others talk about him as a quarterback's coach and the way he's brought up quarterbacks and found quarterbacks and how he'd work with Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo and others, like, shouldn't he be able to do this in this short a time?
He's going to take it one step further, Murray, and show us all his genius. He's going to show his work. He's going to put it out on the field in real games on TV so everyone can see what a master alchemist that Bill Belichick is and how he develops these guys. He's going to put it right on your chin, as we like to say. And I'm hoping for it. And I actually think all due respect, all kidding aside, I think there's some merit to it. But only to, you know, as an extension of the preseason. I'm not doing it to preserve Cam Newton's health. I am not doing it to give Brian Flores more to prepare for. I'm not doing it because what were the? I'm not doing it for any other reason. For more information on Stidham, I mean, I guess that's a little bit a part of it, but I think Bill's going to treat it as an extension of the. This is a college year. I think Bill's horny for it. I think he's horny for this sort of challenge that he has to do it differently. The league has to do it differently, and he's going to be better than everybody else in this adjustment. And I just think that's coming. What can I tell you? So what do you guys think? And we just ran all these tweets here on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast that showed, and I heard Bob Soucy give his report earlier to Bertrand and Zolak. I guess everybody sucked today. Everybody. All three quarterbacks sucked. Newton threw two interceptions. Stidham threw two interceptions. Hoyer looked the best of anyone. Soucy, you know, he said it with a much milder tone, as you might imagine.
Of course.
Team broadcaster, but let me translate. No one could get open. There was no separation. The receivers sucked. A bunch of them were off the field and out. The ones that were on the field sucked. The tight ends were even worse. All the quarterbacks were bad. It was a half-assed practice. No one looked good, and the offense is terrible. So that,
I don't think Soucy would have put it like that at all.
No, but he didn't. He spent 20 minutes talking around it, but that's the translation.
It was a less than ideal performance for the three quarterbacks today.
And we're just running these tweets here on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. Was it Perry that said that there was a lot of quick subbing with Newton and Stidham, that they were going back and forth, bing, 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 in and out, in and out, in and out? This is coming, and I don't think they'll do that in the games. Like, you don't go play to play. You go series to series or quarter to quarter, something like that. But isn't that something? Here's a Phil Perry tweet up on the simulcast. Practice wrapping up now with some conditioning on the hills. Fun one? Is that what he says? Again, it's so – you got to bump up the font
fun
for
one.
The olds.
A lot of passing, some quick subbing back and forth between Stidham and Newton. Worth noting, particularly after Belichick didn't rule out a platoon earlier this morning. Felt that way at times today.
You love? So what a tip off to Reese. It's like Reese out of nowhere, 6 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
You know, after
pondering
two practices, with lingering questions. And then next thing you know, they come out that day and they're bing, 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 back and forth. And Bill Belichick's giving it life. I think it's real. I think it's real, and I think there's a case to be made for it. I promise you're lined up to your calls on this story right after a update from Matt McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mads.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mads.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Morning, Bill. How's it going?
Good, Henry. How you doing?
I'm well. So I don't think we've asked you about the Lamar Miller signing. What led you to bring him onto the team? Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Next question, Ben Volen, followed by Alan Siegel.
Unmuted. Good morning, Bill.
Hi, Ben.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yep.
Next question, Alan Siegel, followed by Phil Perry.
Thanks, Stacey. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Okay, thanks. You have said, because every year is a new year, and you've said that preseason games are not just for the players, they're for the coaching staff. So I'm wondering, with no preseason games, if you will build something into practice down the road to help the coaching staff with problems that might arise with communication and things like that to try to get, you know, a smoother operation with no preseason games.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Great question. Yeah, thank you.
Coach, we set a new record. The fewest questions for a conference call. So we are done. Thanks, Mike Reese, last question. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Bill. I had you flying off there, and I jumped in at the end, but it was just to ask you about Devin Ross, who's caught the eye the last couple of days at practice. What have you seen from him, just working with him over the last couple, last year and into this year?
Yeah, Devin's, he's a hardworking kid.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. See you Friday.
Oh, the pleasantries. Just thought we'd string that together. Oh, the pleasantries. Good morning. Hi, how are you? Thanks. Appreciate it. Oh, Jesus. Don't you understand, guys? If you're on fire, Bill would not take a leak on you.
I don't even know why they bother.
Oh, the glad handing. Thank God I've never kissed his ass before, ever. 617-779-0985.
How's the yacht? How's the boat?
The effing Tampa Bay Lightning have tied this game.
I want to scream.
Carolina was up. Columbus was up 4-2 in the third.
Yeah, worst lead in hockey, 2-goal lead.
4-2, and Tampa has scored twice in the last 10 minutes, including an empty net, with the goalie pulled off Cicerelli's skate. Could have been a kick, but it wasn't. And is it gone final yet? I mean, has it gone to...
It's about to go to overtime here.
OT.
Okay, so here's the deal, folks. We were going to get off at 3:30 for Bruins action, but now the Bruins are going to be delayed because of this cockamamie scat. Could they widen it out more than these four-hour windows between games? All it takes is one game to go to overtime for you to push back the whole slate, right? Because it takes 90 minutes to clean down the locker rooms and the rink, and they have to sanitize and do all this stuff.
Right.
So a hockey game is generally 2.5 hours, 2:35, something like that. This one was like 2:30. And so they scheduled the games 4 hours apart, like not even factoring in the likelihood of overtime, which in the playoffs happens all the freaking time. And so now the Bruins are going to be delayed. The 8 o'clock game is going to be delayed. And Murray has to work longer because we're going to stay on the air until the Bruins
until
come
the
on.
Until the Bruins start. And so it speaks to what I said after that 5 overtime game, which, again, I liked because they are rarities for the most part. But that next day, it did feel like, while watching it the night before, that they didn't plan this thing out. Like
They might not have thought of this possibility.
No, not at all. And you would think in Canada, where hockey is king, you could find, more rinks, more ice. Apparently not.
Well, why are you playing 3 games in Toronto today and only one in Edmonton? What's the deal with that?
Well,
this is so stupid.
Well, but they're not going to ship teams to Edmonton to play. Like, I don't know what you can do about that.
Yeah.
I would just make it 12, 5, and 9. Like, I don't know. I would just spread it out a little bit. So you're not delaying broadcasts, delaying, games, and making Murray work an extra half hour or whatever. This thing goes 2 overtimes, 3 overtimes. We'll be back to having a regular show. And I was looking forward to going TU here in a couple minutes. Right. But it ain't going to happen. That's toes up for those of you out there. So extended coverage of Felgren, not the fraud shift we were promised. 617-779-0985 to you on the Patriots quarterback platoon, which I do think is coming. Chris in East Bridgewater. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, guys? I think two big reasons why you're not going to see quarterback by committee from almost any teams this year. One, the virus. If QB1 and, God forbid, QB2 goes down too, you're going to have to keep at least one quarterback separate from everybody else. I mean, if somebody pulls a Lou Williams, all it takes is one dum-dum to catch it. Look at the Cardinals.
So wait a minute. So that's reason to have one guy versus two?
Well, I mean, I just don't think that you're gonna have one guy going because you're gonna have all these people on the field. You can't really trust them. You're just going off of their personal responsibility. If one of them gets sick and you're subbing out QBs every four downs and they both get sick, you're gonna be stuck with your third QB for who knows how long quarantine's gonna take.
And I'm not trying to buy that, but go ahead.
The other reason is you guys had Ted Johnson on here one time and he was talking about how the first preseason game, you get a lot of concussions, you get a lot of injuries, because that first real hit, it pops guys good. So I'm kind of worried about with season starting, with no preseason, you're going to have a lot more injuries these first couple of games. And if you have one or two quarterbacks go down because of that, you're going to be in the same situation.
Okay,
that
so
I talked about.
I'm hearing you. I just think the reason to do it, the reason I think he will do it, is because he treats September as an extension of the preseason anyway.
Yeah, it would just be that.
And this year, Murray, it's going to be kind of like the preseason.
Oh, more than ever, because they don't have the real preseason. So if he is going to do it, it would be for that reason. He's not comfortable with naming a starter. He has to see more. That's it. I don't think it's going to be because of COVID reasons.
And you know what? I'm okay with it. Like, let us all see it. Let us see it against real competition. Give Stidham a couple series, give Newton a couple series, and let's see. Let's see who's better. Let's see who runs the offense better. Let's see how it works in real games. I mean, it'd be a more true competition than even the preseason, because in the preseason, you don't know who's going against, you know, third stringers, second stringers, the guys who are going to be bagging groceries the next week, and the guys who are in the league. It's really even hard to tell in those preseason games. Let's see it in real games. I'm into it. I'm down with this thing. Milton is in Providence. Go ahead. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So, I mean, I think it's a bit silly that Big Jim thinks that Bill is above, you know, playing two or more quarterbacks, you know, during the regular season. And this is where I agree with you, Mike. I think that if Bill does this, it might be only for first couple weeks of September. Though, you know, Bill's watching this closely, and I think he wants to have a quarterback set. I mean, let's not forget that Brian Hoyer was also promised a job. So what's he going to do, play three quarterbacks? I think he wants to know maybe by the first or second week.
So, I don't know. I think he's willing to go the first month. I think, you know, he usually treats the first month as mixing and matching anyway. So I don't know if he needs to know by the first week. And let me tell you, I don't want them to do this by the middle of the year. I mean, because I don't think it is a way to win. I think New Orleans has done it as well as any team we've ever seen. And I do think when Taysom Hill goes in, I think more often than not, it works. And I think they've made it work there. But that is the outlier. That's the exception.
Yeah, if you are going to do this, you can't have this run into the middle of October.
No.
Then it's
nope.
Just, you know, then it's showing you week by week. Like, they don't know. This thing's a mess. And so what? By the end of it, what? The quarterback competition is Stidham and Hoyer if they keep the three quarterbacks and the Patriots are as compelling as Red Sox pitching? Like, I'm sorry. Those guys aren't ready. There's a reason they took in Cam Newton as late as they did. They didn't believe in Stidham for some reason, at least for 2020. Maybe he's the long-term project, but he's not the guy this year.
All right. We've got extended Felger and Maz coverage, and by that I mean we were supposed to be off at 3:30, but that ain't happening anymore. So we'll get to more of this quarterback situation in New England. We have a bunch of Bruins thoughts to give you coming up to their game, and again, it will be here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It probably won't be the 4 o'clock. I mean, is there still a chance if they score in the first minute of overtime we're out of here?
I don't know.
Based on what, the 87-minute rule, it'd be hard to see that happening, right?
Right. It's got to be. So
yeah, we're at 2:45 right now. I mean, that's
so the earliest that our show would be over at this point is 3:50.
You have that confirmed?
Yes,
from the powers that be.
Yes, from Howie.
Okay, so at least an hour, folks. Maybe more if this Fakakta game goes any longer, and if we have another 5 overtime game, my head's going to explode. Which is good, right? Everybody wins in that case. So we got you covered for at least the next hour. Weigh in on the quarterback thing. We got some Bruins thoughts. We have a Celtics minute for you coming up. In fact, right after these words. So don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Really tough for him. Obviously tough for us. He's had a heck of a season and played really well here. But, you know, it's the other ankle it's his right ankle this time. And just kind of one of those freak things, you know. It happens in basketball all the time. But feel for him more than anything else. And, you know, it's our job to make up for all the great things that he does by committee, and we'll attempt to do so.
Okay, Brad Stevens on the departure and the loss of Gordon Hayward. Any developing Celtics opinions as they head into game two of their series tonight? Catch it here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, unless one of these forgotten playoff games goes triple overtime and now everything's pushed back and you may have to go to ROR for the Celtics. But as it stands now, Celtics here on 98.5 The Sports Hub following Bruins coverage. You got a thought there, Murray?
Well, yeah, with that, just quickly. So help me God, if I have to do that baseball reporter show tonight, I'm going to kill someone. But look, I would like to see more scoring from other players outside of Tatum and Brown. I mean, they were phenomenal in that first game. Let's not forget, Brown also got dinged up in that game. I think it was a thigh contusion, whatever it was. So hopefully he's going to be able to, you know, be at the optimum level that he was in game one. But I'd like to see, you know, Kemba Walker looking a little bit better. The shot looks flat. And just with Gordon Hayward, like, I'm not the biggest believer in that guy. His tenure here has mostly been a disappointment. I think that might be a little bit strong, but it's been not what it was in Utah. But they're not better without him. Just at the bare minimum, without Gordon Hayward, they become easier to defend. So there's no good in losing Gordon Hayward.
But if I were ranking the guys they could afford to lose,
he's fourth-ish. Like,
it's not just the points or the rebounds or the practical X and O matter of it. I'm just talking in terms of, you know, whose team is this, and, you know, where do you rank in the pecking order? And I don't know. He's missed so much time and has been crap for so many games. It's like he's never been relied on to be the guy. And he's ultimately what could put you over the top, because it could be a fourth all-star, and I don't think anyone else can say that. But he's the fourth piece. And since he's gotten here, have they ever relied on him?
No.
Has he ever been the key to? I mean, I like when the ball goes through him. I like when he runs the offense. But he's been so inconsistent and been off the floor so much that it's not like they rely on it and they need it. You know, I think Kemba Walker is a much bigger loss. I think either of your wings are a much bigger loss. I might say Marcus Smart would be a bigger loss. Like, if you lost Marcus Smart, who's your hustle guy? Who's your junkyard dog? Who's that? Who plays that role? You know, never mind the fact he might even be your best passer on top of it. Like, I just think, I don't think it's a big loss. I don't. You can't be as good. Your ceiling's not as high, but I don't think it shouldn't be. You should still roll over this Philly team, McCarthy.
I think the reason here, you know, the reason to be concerned about this isn't the loss of Hayward necessarily. It's, well, how do you split up those minutes? And more minutes going to those bench guys. And I don't feel great about the Celtics bench. So I think that's the loss here. But to your point, Mike, I think he is the fifth most important player on this team right now. So I do not think this is a devastating loss, at least for this series. Do you need him a little bit later on? Yes, maybe you do. So you're not relying more heavily on guys from the bench, but I don't think it really shows up in this series, to be honest.
Yeah, not in this series, but it will eventually catch up with them again in how they defend. And I, too, like when he is facilitating the offense.
Sure.
and how the ball moves when he's running it. I mean, now they are likely to fall more into more of what you saw late in that game that I didn't like in game one. Maz said the same thing. Like, it was too much iso ball, or they're just jacking too many threes. Like, those things could potentially end up biting them in the ass without Gordon Hayward. I just, like, he's done. He ain't going to come back, at least for this year.
So that's another thing I think. I think it's over for him this year.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And what I mean by that is, even if he's back in 4 weeks, by then they're in the conference finals. Everyone else is up to full speed. He's still back to half speed, and he's just going to be sort of an afterthought. And he always takes a little bit longer anyway. So I think that's it for Gordon Hayward this year. And I don't think it should be that big of a loss. I mean, if you were going to win an NBA championship, Presumably, you need all guys firing on all cylinders, and now that's less likely. But I still don't think it should be the death knell. I don't. So there's your Celtics thought. Did you have one? 617-779-0985. In the meantime, back to your calls. Here's Eric and Winthrop on the Patriots. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Mike. I love your translation of the Patriots reporting. Mincing words sucks, and the way they do it. But with this effing season, why wouldn't you start and stay with Newton? When could improvisation be more desirable? If he gets blown up, hey, it's Stidham time. And I'm so excited about Duggar.
Okay. So that's the first time we've gotten that call. But the second round safety from Division II, he's excited about. Apparently he's playing well so far in camp.
Yeah, he had a good day yesterday. I didn't see anything about today.
So hopefully, Bill, you know, Bill's drafted enough of these reach crappy secondary guys in the second round. One of them's got to hit, right?
You would think.
Theoretically, he's yeah. about 0 for a lifetime on these safeties and corners in the second round.
He's due. So, you know, maybe this Except is the Sean. Guy. To me, improvisation. Is that what Bill's really about?
No.
No, it's not. I mean, and so, I don't know. I think Bill wants a quarterback who knows the system and knows the playbook and communicate with his teammates. I'm like, Bill's huge with that. Communication and everyone being on the same page in that part of the game. Oh, my God. Like, that's – he emphasizes that as much, if not more, than any coach we've ever seen. So if Cam Newton isn't up to speed with the offense, I don't think he's going to be down with just snap the ball and let him run around and make a bunch of plays. I don't think that's how Bill does it. I don't think that's how he should do it. And so if Cam Newton doesn't know the offense, that's all the more reason to sub him out that first year. I mean, that first month. Just that first month. Is it really going to be an extension of the preseason? And then if it is, use that first month to teach Newton the offense by subbing him in and out. And I think this is a real possibility.
And then the clock starts ticking on when Cam Newton becomes problematic in that locker room. I mean, he's not going to keep quiet about it, whether that's in there or on social media. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to stay quiet.
I agree, but you don't buy, like, the reporting early on after the signing was that Newton has given the team indication that he's coming here to be a member of the team and the organization. If that means backing up, that means backing up, and he'd be fine with that. You don't believe that?
No, not after the initial reports when free agency started that I'm not going to be a backup to anybody, especially a kid who's only been in the league for a year or so, or Brian Hoyer. If I'm Cam Newton, I have too much pride. I'm not going to do that.
So just go look at the sit-down again with Odell Beckham and that whole thing. Did he carry himself like a man who's comfortable being a backup?
No way.
Not at all. Does he view himself as that kind of player, or does he still views himself as
the former league MVP, a guy that's made a Super Bowl, one of the big stars in the NFL?
I don't see that working. But, you know, maybe for a month. You know, maybe they can sell it to him and he can accept it for a short period of time as you learn the offense and we treat this as an extended preseason. That's the reason I think Bill would do it. And that's the reason I think, frankly, he should do it. So that story come out of Foxborough today. Bill opening the door and Reese reporting out of nowhere that a quarterback platoon could be a possibility. And then, wouldn't you know, at a practice today, it looked like a quarterback platoon. So how do you feel about that possibility at 617-779-0985 with some Bruin thoughts to get to as well. The game coming up here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Start time will be pushed back as the Tampa-Columbus game has gone to overtime. Of course it did. So what was going to be a 4 o'clock puck drop is now going to be pushed back, but we'll have it covered here on 98.5. Either way, we'll take it right up to the pregame whenever that does happen. So we'll go right back to your phones after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.